If we could, we're going to start the hearing. Okay, welcome everybody. Madam Secretary, when you're ready. Here.
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 Present.
Here.
Okay, we'd ask everybody in the room to turn off their cell phones so we don't have that disruption. And we do have minutes. We have four sets of minutes. I think they're 215, 219, or 25, 219, 35, and 319. Is that
and
correct?
Mr. Chairman, I read all four of those and would offer a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
Second. I read them as well.
Mr. Chair, aren't there five sets of minutes here for you? One, two, three. Four, five sets of minutes.
What date did I miss there?
I believe the 12th of March.
They're not there.
I didn't see the 12th of March.
They're not there.
So again, just to reiterate, it's 2-5, 2-19, 3-5, 3-19, and at some point we'll do the 12th. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Please vote. Motion passes unanimously. When you come to the podium, you have 3 minutes to speak. There's a yellow light that goes on when you have 1 minute remaining. You need to summarize and return to your seat when the red light starts flashing. And please pay attention to that. We have a lot of speakers today and a couple commissioners with time constraints. There's speaker slips out in the hall, three different colors, green, white, and pink. White is neutral. Green is in support generally of the staff position, and pink is in opposition. We also have a projector here now where you can put displays that will be shown up on the screen, and staff can help you with that. If you want to appeal the Planning Commission's decision, it's the process for doing that is on the last page of the agenda. This is an opportunity for anybody in the audience who wants to address the commission on an item that's not on the agenda. We can't take action, but we can make a referral to staff. Is there anybody who'd like to address the commission? Okay, seeing not. Do we have any requests for continuance from staff?
Chairman Beck, Planning Commissioners, my name is Jason Giffen. This morning we actually are recommending that item number 2 be pulled from the agenda. In the last several days, we've received a large amount of correspondence that requires staff's attention to that. If you have any follow-up questions, Joe Faraci is available to answer any questions you may have.
How long do you want to pull for? Just indefinite?
Yeah, we would pull it from the agenda and then re-notice it.
Okay. You know, I'm very happy with that. After reading that, there are more questions than answers, and I'd very much like to spend more time on it.
I concur with the request of staff to pull this from the agenda and return it to the staff.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to basically that's pulled, so it's not continued. Okay, please vote. Motion passes unanimously. Now we'll look at potential consent items.
Certainly. Possibly item number 1, possibly number items 4 through 7 are available for your consent agenda, and there are speaker slips on items 1 and 3.
Okay.
Move consent on items 4, 5, 6, and 7.
I have a real quick question that I think Mr. Haller can confirm on item number 5, and then that could be taken. And then I do have some questions on item number 6, so I'd like to pull that. Maybe we can address that before Montecito, if the commission is okay with that.
That's fine.
But I'm okay with 4, 7, and a quick question on 5, if we could.
That's fine. Mr. Chairman, yes. I need to recuse on 4 and 5.
Okay.
So, counsel, should I step out? Or if this is going to be a motion on consent, how do you want me to handle that?
I think you can stay here if you just abstain on those items.
Recuse.
Recuse.
Yeah. All right.
Sure.
Okay. Could Mr. Haller just? We don't need a presentation, or I don't need a presentation. If any other.
No.
This issue related to the fire hydrant that's resolved on your project.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have that resolved with Rancho Santa Fe Fire as to the location.
Okay. In that case, 4, 5, and 7. We need a motion, yes.
I'll move that 4, 5, and 7 are approved on consent.
Second.
Please vote. That motion passes that motion passes with Commissioner Day abstaining.
Recusing,
excuse me. And then item number 6, if you can give me just a second here, pull my notes.
4 and 5.
I want on that lot.
Well, I'll ask staff and council what's appropriate. I probably have several minutes of questions. Can I do that to satisfy them?
I think it's at your discretion as to whether you'd like to take this item quickly before the items 1 and 3.
The rest of the commission okay with that?
Yeah, we take
yes. Okay. I'll just go ahead and ask a few questions that came up, if I could, Terry. The original open space, what was the purpose of that?
There's two different open space easements. One was, they were both for biological preservation. The one in the center, if you could cue that up, I could show that. This one that you see to the north, that's highly fragmented. That was for biological resource protection and for a potential wildlife corridor for movement of wildlife north to south.
And why is it cut up like that?
Chairman Beck, the existing yellow stepping stone easements were dedicated as a part of a previous action. They're existing open space easements that were dedicated, as we understand it from the record, to provide some wildlife movement through this area. It is part of the existing condition for this proposal.
So we wouldn't do that now. And then on there was a lot of comments related to monitoring the archaeological issues, and I guess one of my questions was, I'm assuming that there's monitoring going on while there's grading in process. Is that correct?
Yes,
that's correct.
And I couldn't interpret the answer to one of the questions that was advanced by the tribe. So if the monitors see something, the grading stops. Is that correct?
There's a standard protocol which all of our archaeological monitoring follows, which at times includes a representative from the tribes. In the event that something is discovered, there's a set protocol that is followed both by the monitoring staff as well as the tribes to basically notify the department that whatever the resources are have been identified, and then there's necessary steps to deal with each of those. Donna Beto is available if you want to know a little bit more about the specifics.
I guess that answer didn't kind of get to the core of my question. I mean, if the monitor's there, like moving at some point in time in front of the bulldozers, right? I mean, that's the idea. Behind them, rather.
Chairman Beck, yes, when you're out there doing archaeological monitoring, you're behind the equipment, you're looking for artifacts, or hopefully you never find human remains, but if you do, you halt all excavation, you call the county coroner.
Oh, okay.
There's a certain protocol that has to be followed.
So that halting the equipment was something that was not explicit in this, and I was wondering about that. And then on the point you just raised about the human remains, as I read this, it sounds like one of the issues with the tribe was that they were concerned that they would not be responsible or involved in determining what happens to human remains should they be found. And the assumption here is that those would be tribal ancestry issues for them.
Once the county coroner makes the determination these are prehistoric remains, there is the protocol we go through. One is contacting the Sacramento, the Office of Historic Preservation. The local tribes who they believe to be the most likely descendant would be contacted, and then conversations and discussions would ensue, and a determination would be made as to who is the most likely descendant.
Okay, but still, who makes the... I thought that I read that it wasn't up to the tribe that there was already a determination made about what would happen with those remains. Is that incorrect?
No, a determination is not made until they are identified.
Okay. And then my final couple of questions has to do with the farmland category. As I was reading the staff report, to paraphrase, the farmland category, let's see, does not meet the definition of the farmland category despite the current mapping designation as farmland of local importance. And then it goes on, and then it says, since the project site has not been used for agricultural production within 4 years, the site does not meet the criteria for prime statewide or local importance farmland. Am I reading that correctly, that it actually has to be an ag use to qualify for those?
Chairman Beck, the way it works is the state every 2 years maps various farmland categories. For each of those categories, there's criteria that have to be met to meet the categories for statewide importance as well as prime agricultural land. There are some components that the land has to be farmed for a certain amount of years within a given period of time. This particular land, though, does not have prime soils that would fall into the prime agricultural category, which is the one that is of the highest importance to the state.
Okay, and yeah, my question was actually more broad. My concern was more broad than this particular application. And I guess maybe you answered it, but I'm still a little unclear, because it says here, since the project site has not been used for ag production within 4 years, the site does not meet criteria for prime, statewide, or local. So you're connecting those two things. Am I misreading it?
No, perhaps I can elaborate. The way the state does their mapping is at a high level, they map down to 10 acres as the smallest unit, and they do it from geographical information system approach. By going with that approach, they also identify a set of criteria, with prime agricultural lands having the most criteria. What we then do when we have a discretionary application that goes through the process, we evaluate those criteria as a part of the agricultural analysis, one of which for at least the top two categories includes whether or not there has been the lands have been irrigated or in active agricultural land to meet the definition of statewide importance or prime agricultural land.
Oh, it's a criterion, but it is not. It is not the single criterion.
Correct.
Okay. This language in here, I would recommend that you at least review it and see if it's clear on that point. Now, my final point, and this is kind of arithmetic for me, and I've raised it recently on a couple of other projects. And the next paragraph, and this is on page 6137, the next paragraph, which is the second to the last paragraph, says over half of the 14-acre property is encumbered by existing open space, and then in parentheses, it's 5.6 acres. And it goes on, and there's more acreage and so on, but as I read it, those are kind of inconsistent statements. I mean, apparently, the intent was to have a summary of all the existing easements or impact areas and say that that's more than 50%. But it says here that half of the property is encumbered by existing open space of 5 acres. And I guess that's...
Chairman Beck, that's consistent with the idea here, is that the open space is approximately 38% of the property. Then it's also encumbered by existing structures and Fallbrook Street and existing roads on the project site.
Exactly my point, because the open space is only 5 acres, and so half of the site is not encumbered by open space.
Precisely.
Okay. All right, I'm done with that. Please vote. Motion passes unanimously. Okay. Champagne Lakes, item number one. This is a continued item.
Good morning, Chairman Beck, members of the Planning Commission. Item one is the Champagne Lakes RV Park Major Use Permit Modification. At the January 8th hearing, the Commission referred the project back to staff to provide additional information on these five issues listed here on the slide. This slide indicates the current approved major use permit plot plan. The park is currently approved for 135 RV spaces and 5 mobile home spaces, which are indicated here in blue. Of those, only 90 were developed. The proposal is to take the spaces here in green that were not developed and to relocate them over here as indicated in red. Okay, this is the proposed plot plan. The existing spaces here, the 89 and one mobile home space, which is 90. Then there was the 50 that were not developed, which are proposed here, 46 RV and 4 mobile home spaces. And then we're going to validate the RV storage area. This slide is shows the 100-year lines of inundation. There are 17 existing RV spaces. There's the lines of inundation. And then there are 17 existing RV spaces located within the lines of inundation and one mobile home space. So the proposal is to relocate the one mobile home space outside of the lines of inundation, and the RV spaces located within the lines of inundation limit them to only 90-day occupancy within a 12-month period. The commission requested staff and council to evaluate the state law to see if additional limits on occupancy restrictions could be imposed. The applicable state law health and safety code section requires the county to grant an exemption from occupancy restrictions unless the county does either of two things. They grant a partial exemption, or they make findings that due to the need of tourist spaces, the exemption would have specific adverse impacts which cannot be mitigated by conditions of granting a partial exemption. Staff is not aware of such specific adverse impacts, and therefore we recommend partial exemption be granted. Notwithstanding the state law, the county remains authorized to require a use permit for such parks. To address the commission's concern, staff recommends that the MUP be strengthened to require an additional inspection conducted 5 years after the establishment of the use and reliance period. This is to ensure that the park complies with the terms of the major use permit. The results of the inspection will be provided to the Planning Commission for review and consideration. If appropriate, the Commission could initiate proceedings to revoke or modify the permit at that time. Number four, recreational vehicles are not designed to be used as permanent housing. However, the California Health and Safety Code limits the county's authority to deny the requested exemption from the occupancy limits. Staff has recommended appropriate conditions in MUP and has obtained the appropriate service availability letters to assure that the community can accommodate the use of the expanded facility. The change in recreational vehicle occupancy would not affect the county's housing base. The recreational vehicles are not considered dwelling units as defined by the zoning ordinance. The Department of Planning and Land Use recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the changes included in the errata sheet dated March 19, 2010. In addition, staff recommends that the Commission impose an off-street parking limitation to limit the parking to the confines of the park. That concludes staff's presentation.
Any questions of staff?
Commissioner Norwood. If we could go back to the slide where the RVs are not intended for permanent occupancy and then the CA health code. Could you please explain, so we've determined that they're not designed for permanent habitation, and what we're considering here is essentially permanent habitation in terms of no time restrictions. And then could you please explain once again, and maybe a little bit more in depth, that we have what the California Health and Safety Codes allow us to do or don't allow us to do as commissioners? And maybe that's a question for you, Paul.
Through the chair, Commissioner Norby, if I could have counsel chime in on the health and safety code determination.
Thank you.
Sure. As your commission's been advised in the last couple of meetings addressing this item, there is a health and safety code section 18865.2, which authorizes an RV park owner to request an exemption from any short-term occupancy requirements. The park owner here has come in under the statute and requested that, and as staff has indicated, We must approve that exemption request unless we make specific findings of adverse impacts. And staff has indicated they don't believe there would be such impacts. Therefore, you have to either grant under the state law the full exemption or a partial exemption, and staff is recommending a partial exemption here.
And is there in that code, in terms of our requirement to grant an extension, is that defined by permanent occupancy, or can it be simply if somebody has a 7-day or 14-day limitation that we must extend to 30 days or 90 days or 120 days, or does the code specifically demand or direct us to extend that to permanency?
Unfortunately, the statute's not so clear. It does specify that we shall grant the exemption from the occupancy limitations. It doesn't specify any particular maximum time length that we have to adhere to. But I think the intent behind the statute is that when you remove the short-term occupancy limitation, there is, in effect, no limitation. And I understand the inconsistency there with the fact that these RVs truly are not meant to be permanent units.
Thank you.
Commissioner Woods?
Council, I just don't like the idea that we're approving a non-permanent with a permanent, and that's what we're doing. Is there any way we can, quote-unquote, manipulate this, that 25% of all these spaces have to be of different occupancy every so many months, or every 4 months or 6 months, whereas, in fact, that would guarantee that these were mobile RV and not permanent, stick to the same spot for 5 years, units?
Well, this park, as I understand it, is a combination of RVs and with a few permanent mobile homes.
Through the chair, the park does have 5 mobile home spaces, which, you know, couldn't be moved in that terms, and they do have the 135 RV spaces. But I'd like to let the council know that RV parks do have the same tenancy, not in a legal sense, but they do have the same tenancy laws applied to them as mobile homes and apartments and houses, and the laws are very strict about removing people from one space to another space. There's a legal process. You have to evict them, essentially, to get them to move from one space. So what you would be asking by doing that is the park will be obligated to evict those individuals every 3 months if they refuse to leave. And if they would leave voluntarily, would not have to do that. So we would be imposing some sort of condition that would require the park to evict the units every so many months or years or whatever the commission determined at that point.
I just feel like we should just rename it and give it a trailer park status and not worry about it if we're going to do that anyway. It's just, I have a problem with it, I guess. Thank you.
Commissioner Woods, again, I'm just not aware of any authority to require a particular mix of permanent versus temporary units here. However, this is a use permit. You may find that you need to limit the numbers in a certain way to meet the compatibility findings of the zoning ordinance.
Okay, Commissioner Reeves, then Commissioner Norby.
Council, is there any reason for us to have to vote for it, or we just vote against it because we don't like the idea? Can we do that?
The state law is pretty clear, Commissioner Reese. It says we shall grant the exemption unless we make certain findings of specific impact. So I don't think that's really an option.
No, I mean not approving the entire project.
Well, what's before you is a use permit modification. You have to approve the modification based on the use permit findings in the zoning ordinance. Any denial of the proposal before you today would have to be based on your inability to make those required findings in 7358 of the zoning ordinance.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Norby, then Commissioner.
Thank you. Just a question of staff to follow up. A mobile home is a home that is intended for permanent occupancy.
Chairman Beck, Commissioner Norby, that is correct. I just wanted to point out that there's actually two projects, sort of two things before your commission today. One is the requested modification of the arrangement of the RV park, and the other is the request for exemption under the government code section, or the health and safety code section.
Sure.
So there's two separate actions here before you.
Appreciate that, and we can handle them separately. This is the second RV
RV park that seeks to transition into a majority trailer or you know, mobile home park in majority, 60-70%, but allow the RV to be the mobile home, and the RV is not a home that's designed to be permanently occupied. So this is the second one in front of us within 6 months. In fact, this applicant waited for the result of the first one in front of us to see how that works. And the concern that I would have is a furthering of these types of situations coming before, and this is, again, the second one, and it's just, it's a concern that I have, and I want to thank you for answering my questions.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Norby, just for your information, there are two others waiting in the wings to come, come before your commission, we understand the conundrum of having a temporary vehicle being used as a permanent occupancy, but that appears to staff and council to be the mandate of the state.
Commissioner Pallinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thank staff for addressing the concerns that were brought forward by the commission. I think specifically Mr. Norby last time, and I think you've done a good job to address those. I think you're right in stating that there's kind of two issues here. Number one is the changes to the major use permit, which I think improved the park. And I think those, I don't think there's too much issue there. As far as the state mandate is concerned, I certainly understand the concern of the commissioners, but it's covered by a major use permit. It's dictated by the state of California. And I think our hands are tied in this at this point. And I think we need to look at the project kind of from the major use permit standpoint. As far as RVs becoming permanent residences, that may be seemingly an issue, but I guess I'd rather see somebody, and maybe this is the state's thinking, living a longer term in an RV than on the street or in a shelter. So maybe this is a transitional housing issue that's being addressed by the state. I don't know, but just from a moral standpoint, it seems to me that it does offer an alternative housing, a transitional, and I can support the staff's recommendation here, and if we're ready for a motion, I would make one.
No, actually, we have speaker slips and probably a couple more comments from commissioners, if that's okay.
That's my position, and I'm interested in hearing what the public has to say.
Okay, any more discussion? If not, we'll go ahead and have the speakers. We have three in favor, two wishing to speak, Thierry Stett and Mark Alpert. Charles Williams registering yay, but doesn't want to speak. Okay, Thierry.
Commissioners, my name is Thierry Stett with offices at 438 Camino del Rio South in San Diego, here today representing Champagne Lakes RV Resort. I'm going to deviate slightly from my PowerPoint based upon the commissioner's comments. I do want to say that we've been before the Valley Center Community Planning Group at three different occasions, actually four different occasions, including the concept that we took to them. And every time we've had unanimous or near unanimous approval because of the way that Mr. Williams operates this park and has cleaned the park up. And as Commissioner Pallinger has said, the issue of the major use permit is really the key to us of what we're doing here. We're taking, if I can move this along, the clicker isn't working here, or let me see. If I can go to the, actually the project description, yeah. If you can back up one, please, Patrick, yeah. As we've said, there are 140 spaces approved, 135 RVs and five mobile home spaces. And we're relocating 50 of the spaces, and that's the essence of the major use permit. We have actually taken the park, and if we can go to, let's see, the, okay. A number of things, I'll get back to some of this, but, excuse me. Yes, as staff has shown, we're taking and making this a much more environmentally sensitive project by moving the units to where staff has indicated. We've also agreed in the 25% restricted occupancy to use those that have been for five decades in the floodplain to use those as the limited occupancy. Mr. Williams has initiated a very strict, and it's part of the record that has been sent to Patrick Brown, very extensive rules and regulations that will affect the occupancy, the way the occupancy of this particular RV park works. We've revised the resort rules and regulations, we've revised the application for residency, and we've revised the residential and rental agreement, all of which, in essence, will demonstrate that this will be operated at the highest possible level. Already, Mr. Williams has started an extensive cleanup of the site, and as I've said, all of our approvals from the Valley Center Planning Group have really been because the RV site has been extensively approved. So basically, we've resolved a lot of issues. And Mr. Mark Alpert is here from CalRV to discuss the occupancy issue as far as the state law. But to concentrate from my perspective, because I'm the one who has processed the modification, we, without a doubt, have made this a better park with the modification that we have done to this major use permit, and would hope that the Commission could support staff's recommendation for approval. I would like to reserve some time for rebuttal, if I could. Otherwise, we would like the Commission to support staff's recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Alpert.
Good morning, Commissioners. I am Mark Alpert from Hart King & Coldren. My law firm represents mobile home parks and RV parks across the state. Just one point of clarification. I'm not here representing CalRV. I am here as attorney for the applicant. We do work with CalRV and actually have some information from them this morning that I think is important. The primary issue I'm here to talk about is your staff has talked about and your city attorney has talked about or your county council has talked about is the temporary occupancy requirements. And because really you have already approved 135 spaces here, so you really have vested right on those spaces. So the key issue here is how many spaces have to be reserved for temporary occupancy. The applicant here has agreed to a 25% of the spaces being limited to temporary occupancy. And I would suggest to you, commissioners, that under the relevant law and the kind of record that we have here, that's really a very, very fair position. As County Council mentioned, under the Health and Safety Code, the county is required to grant an exemption unless there are substantial findings of specific adverse impacts that cannot be mitigated. So it really does tie your hands in many ways. What evidence do we have here? We have, in part, evidence of a park, the occupancy of this park itself, which has plenty of room itself for temporary occupancy. We have, I know this has been submitted to the county before, we've got a study that CalRV Association has done, which shows from 2005 to 2008, you have an average occupancy rate of about 70% in parks across the county. In fact, I'd like to, because it wasn't part of the staff report that I saw, I'd like to submit copies of this CalRV study, which again shows the historic occupancy rates, which I think is important for you to consider. You have a location which is not particularly a tourist-serving location. So for all those reasons, the record that you have here really would make it hard to even justify the 25% temporary occupancy that the applicant here is agreeing to. So I would suggest to you that although I understand your concerns, that in complying with the law, complying with state law, that you really do have to approve that. The other point is that the county has previously approved an application for Oak Creek RV Park, And in approving that application, I'm sure you made some official findings. I haven't looked at those findings, I don't have them in front of me, but I'm sure those findings would support exactly what I'm talking about here, that 25% is justifiable. And so if you're gonna find a different result in this case, you'd have to have some kind of substantial reason or evidence. You have here an applicant who has worked hard to work with staff to come up with a project that is a good project, that is improved. He's invested a lot of money, and he's invested a lot of time. And this is really, he requires this approval, or basically all that investment is going down the drain. This project is deserving of your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Larry Loshenko, in opposition?
Good morning. My name is Larry Loshenko. My address is 584 Industrial Way in Fallbrook. I represent Harriet Wax, who is the property owner directly to the north of the subject property. She owns approximately 50 acres.
Pardon me. Mr. Brown, can you show exactly where that property is on that he's speaking?
To the chair, you want to see the aerial view?
Right, I'd like to see exactly where his property that he's representing is with respect to this that we are considering.
I believe Mrs. Wax's property is to the north.
You have a pointer there if you can use it to identify the location once he gets the map up.
We didn't put that in there.
Thank you.
This area right here is my client's property. She has she owns a property to the north, the entire length of the RV park, like say some 50 acres.
Completely adjacent to it.
Completely adjacent to it. That's correct. The entire
along
north
the
boundary.
There. Okay.
To the north.
I believe it is along this side, right here, or is it? I can tell you it's along the, okay, it is right here, along this is 395, right? I'm sorry. It's along this side right here, the entire northerly property line.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would like to address the issue of the adverse impacts. It seems like what I'm hearing from the applicant and applicant's counsel is that this council's hands are tied unless there are substantial negative or adverse impacts. I would suggest that the commission is not going to have a difficult time finding substantial adverse impacts. If I could quickly go through the pictures that I showed you last time, just by way of review of what is out there now, and by granting this exemption, we're going to, that's a house that the applicant took a chainsaw and cut off because it was, in his opinion, over the line. I can't, for some reason, get the thing to go forward. But the point is that this park has had...
Have run through the rest of those pictures while he's speaking. Thank you.
A special use permit in existence, which does not allow permanent occupancy, but it's been totally ignored, and there has been permanent occupancy for quite a while. I don't know, for many years, I don't know if, I hope that the Planning Commission has received this handout the sheet that I sent to them with comparing the differences between, or the requirements between an RV park and a mobile home park. And as you can see, there are very, very big differences that by granting this exemption, all these differences are waived just with the one action of this board. I would like to read for to you from an occupant, an RV user that stayed at this park in February of 2009. He says, when I was there, the SWAT team came in twice to arrest on warrants and serve search warrants. Once the SWAT team left, the drug dealers were moved right back in. There are three child molesters in the park, and one is an employee. This is not a family RV park. This is not a park for the weak of heart. It seems that what staff is, well, I don't want to say staff, but it seems what's happening here is that this park is going to be used for a transition of people, whether they be homeless or whatever the situation is.
Excuse me. I'd actually like to hear the remainder of your comments, but if you could start getting to summary, it'd be appreciated.
Yeah, okay. The point that I'd like to impress on the commission is that there is substantial adverse effects of this park, and I think that if the commission takes the time to design and fashion and articulate these adverse effects, that this request should be denied.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. And I'd like a couple points of clarification. Could I at least get a copy of the summary of the RV versus
yes, I have. Home? I have some extra.
Could you give one to Cheryl?
I certainly would. I forgot to mention one thing, and that is the Sheriff's Department is in and out of this RV park on a regular basis. Thank you.
Okay, and I had one more question for you. Your issue is we have two actions in front of us, as Mr. Baca pointed out. So your issue is not with the rearrangement of the facilities, it's with this other issue. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
for the large part. One follow-up thing on that, though, is my client has wells right along the property line there, and by converting this into a mobile home park, this is on seepage pits, again, another issue of the septic system servicing 140 permanent residents as opposed to the requirements that would be a whole lot different if they went in for a septic system of 140 mobile homes. You couldn't put 140 mobile homes on a seepage pit. Thank you.
I have a question to council.
Okay. Commissioner Woods?
Just a quick question, Council. Is it within our purview, given a major use permit, that in noticing, could we put a condition on that permit that no temporary tents or temporary storage units would be allowed? They would have to be permanent structures?
Through the chair, Commissioner Patrick. Woods. Condition C, 12, I believe, of the staff report, which happens to be page 6-34, is a condition that we have put together and crafted that basically requires the park to act like an RV park. The vehicles have to be registered by the state of origin. They have to have their wheels on them. They have to be operable. They cannot have attached structures. They have to comply with all the Title 25 requirements.
Can we expand upon that section a wee bit and give examples of what is allowed and what is not?
Through the chair, yes, you can.
Okay. I would like, when the time is appropriate, to do that. And what section is that, please, again?
Through the chair, that is condition C-12, Special Occupancy Park Compliance.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Paul? Yes, Commissioner Woods and Planning Commission, just a thought that, again, if you're concerned that a majority of these units are now not going to be subject to short-term occupancy limitations, that may, in fact, have some effect on the conditions that you impose, knowing that some of these will be longer-term occupancies.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Rebuttal? Quick rebuttal, please. Thurry?
Very quick rebuttal. Again, my name is Thurry Stett. through the chair, the rules and regulations that we have applied address exactly what Commissioner Woods is talking about in terms of registration of the vehicles, ensuring that they are operable at all times. No permanent structures will be allowed. That the cleanup to meet those standards has already been undertaken. In terms of the seepage pits, they have already been approved and installed through the Department of Public Health. The Department of Environmental Health. So that aspect has already been cleared. In terms of the adverse impacts, the finding is required for the adverse impacts to tourism, not adverse impacts. And because this has been an existing mobile home, and we're not asking for any additional units, we're simply putting the units in a better place and accepting conditions of operation for the park, which will make it a better park. And Mr. Williams has already initiated a great many of those requirements under 12C. Thank you very much. Both myself and Mr. Alpert are here to answer any questions.
Okay. We'll close public testimony and now go back to commissioners' questions. And if we could at least, I'm sorry, Thury, I misunderstood. Commissioner Brooks wants to ask you a question.
Thank you. You know, I would have been pleased, if you will, that if you had brought pictures in to show the photos that we have seen, we saw those in January, of some corrective actions that Williams has taken, and I was disturbed that I did not see that. Have those corrections been made?
Many of those corrections have been made through the chair to Commissioner Brooks. And in fact, there's an ongoing noticing of the tenants who exceed the new rules and regulations. And I believe that a couple of those notices have been sent to Mr. Brown to demonstrate that we are aggressively pursuing a cleanup of the site to meet the conditions of the permit even before the permit is approved.
Were there deadlines imposed?
Excuse me?
Were there deadlines imposed?
Yes, absolutely.
And county staff is aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. It just would have pleased me if I had seen, some transformation. And having not seen, I have to take your word for it.
Okay.
The seepage pit thing is the final.
You have another question?
Yeah, the seepage pit. That was brought forward before and now today. Has anything been done about that?
We have a letter from Department of Environmental Health demonstrating that it was approved. And to be able to approve septic systems or seepage pits, one of the criteria of the Department of Environmental Health is to look at wells in the area to ensure that there will be no adverse impact from these systems, whether it's a septic system or seepage pit, so that there was an examination by the Department of Public Health to determine that no adverse impact would occur.
And that's currently, and that's also
that
for the future.
That has already been approved and installed on the site.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll close public testimony, and if we could at least have one round of commissioner comments or the opportunity before we have a motion, appreciate it. Okay.
In reviewing the exhibit that was brought forward by the applicant's attorney, I see that the RV Association does kind of spell out what role the state was considering in allowing this longer stay, and one of it is for temporary lodging for transient workforce, such as construction workers, agriculture workers, et cetera. So I think that's important to consider with the extremely high cost of housing in this county. There has to be an alternative to less costly housing. So I understand a construction project could take a year or 2 years, and I think that serves a vital role in providing temporary housing. And also for emergency housing for fire victims. And so I think all of us probably know somebody that's had that unfortunate condition and had to live somewhere temporarily. And so I think this also addresses that need. And I'm remain interested to hear what my fellow commissioners have to say on this issue.
Okay, I'll start at the right over here, Commissioner Norby, and then Reese and Woods, et cetera.
I would like to ask staff about the requirements for a seepage pit in relationship from an RV park to a mobile home park, and if those requirements are different.
Through the chair, Commissioner Norby, actually the permitting and review by the Environmental Health Department involves full-time occupancy. They make the assumption that each RV space is going to be fully occupied throughout the year.
Okay, so the answer is essentially no difference as staff is concerned. Okay, and then do we have I'm just following up on the speaker in opposition and his concerns. Is there a law enforcement history that is substantial on this property that would, for example, give a consideration of an adverse impact in terms of safety that you're aware of, that staff's aware of?
Through the chair, there's nothing that I am aware of and was sent by the Sheriff's Department. We send every project to the Sheriff's Department, and they give us letters either supporting or not supporting a project. And this project did not get any comment from the Sheriff in any negative way.
Okay, so the Sheriff was sent as standard practices for as far as the application, this project.
That is correct.
And the assumption is that it was reviewed, and they just chose not to comment.
Through the chair, they commented, and there was no impacts.
Oh, they did comment. Okay, thank you.
Is that it, Commissioner Norby?
Yeah, I have some summary comments.
Okay.
Do you want those now, or do you want to go questions?
No, let's do some questions, and then we'll have our kind of policy position stated. Commissioner Reese?
I am concerned about the neighbor who's expressing their concern about their high, presumably it's relatively high water table here, because you've got a river running through this thing, and you've got basically one half dwelling unit per acre in the density you're putting in there, and you're going to put that on septic systems. And a half acre on septic systems, it's in the middle of a riverbed, does not sound to me like a good idea. I don't know, maybe the health department, they're the experts in the field, but my personal view is that is not probably going to be very successful. And from that standpoint, and the neighbors have told us that they'd have a real concern about that, because apparently that water system is their drinking water, which once contaminated would then make their property considerably less valuable. Response to that one on staff. Thank you.
Through the chair, Commissioner Reese, the septic system is relatively new and meets all current standards. It's not an old legacy system. So it meets setbacks from stream beds, has proper separation from the surface, and it meets all current standards.
Commissioner Woods?
Yes, I'd like to recommend that if we do take staff position on this, that we do add to section C12 under occupancy requirements that no temporary tent, storage units, or utility trailers are allowed, and also that we have a review within 12 months of compliance on these issues, or bring it back to the commission for reevaluation of the MUP.
Could I ask a point of clarification? This review in 12 months, that's for all the conditions of the MUP, not just the couple that you...
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. Any more comments?
And if the commission would like, I'd make that a motion.
Yeah, well, I have a couple comments that I want to make. Do you have comments? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, go ahead. I've got comments, but I think they're along a different line from what I've been hearing, so I really don't see the issues that are being raised. I think there's some specious arguments, septic being the most obvious. This is an application that's going to make the existing situation better, fully complying with our local ordinances. We may not like the state law, but it is what it is, and we've pushed the limit, it sounds like, as much as we can. And I think Commissioner Pallinger is absolutely right. I mean, it sounds like what we're worried about is this is going to turn into some kind of slum town, when in fact, these are RVs for many different types of people in many different situations to use, and it certainly does fill a gap in the affordable housing market. So I have no problem supporting staff's recommendation and including the recommendations of Commissioner Pallinger and Woods.
Okay, I have a couple thoughts. First of all, with regard to this kind of disconnect that some of us feel up here, it's really, I think, a broader policy land use sense that we're calling an apple and orange, and that's that's uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable with me as well. I'm as much a bleeding heart as anybody up here. And I think we do have to make provisions for the kind of the housing impacts and these other issues. But I don't think the accommodation is to lower building standards or lower health and safety issues and that sort of thing. So I'm very kind of concerned about that. And I'm really concerned that, I mean, this is an issue that it feels like the state is mandating something and we're going along with it because we have to. But I feel impotent in this kind of regard, and I want to respond in some way. I want to say, look, here's a real-world example of your legislation being implemented on the ground in San Diego, and this is one of a series that are coming forward. And we've got some fundamental conflicts between the definition of a temporary and permanent use and structure and building or unit, whatever you want to call it. So I'm going to recommend that staff try to summarize the concerns of the commission with respect to this mandate from the state law, from the state, and that we try to refine our concerns and then actually submit a letter from the Planning Commission to whatever state agency or agencies would be appropriate to hear this or to see this comment letter, just to let them know that this is the implementation of the legislation and how we're having a problem dealing with it. And I'm not suggesting that that's going to be unanimous from the commission, but we can talk about it some future date, and if it's appropriate and we have the votes, we'll go ahead and send it off. So I do, as I look down this list of differences between the two uses, I think we need to be calling one thing and one thing another if they are in fact distinct. And I don't feel like we're doing it here, but I think that in some respects our hands are tied as well. So Commissioner Woods had some...
Be happy to articulate that again.
Please.
I'd like to make a motion that we take staff recommendation with the additions of amending Section C-12 under specific occupancy requirements that no temporary tents, no temporary storage units, and no temporary utility trailers be allowed, and that staff require staff review and inspect the location within 12 months or at 12 months to ensure that the cleanup and that these issues are within line of our intent of the motion, and if not, to bring it back for reevaluation of the MUP.
Second. Okay, and would the first and the second, or the maker and the second, agree with this request of staff to come back with this?
I have no problem with adding a letter to the state on this because I think it puts us in a very untenable position that we're not comfortable with. And yes, I'd like to articulate that. So yes.
Well, okay. If you can make that as a separate motion, because I'm not convinced that there's an issue on that.
Well, what I'm thinking here, and I understand and heard your position. I'm not suggesting that the action today would have that letter take off and leave here. Okay. Just that it would come back to us, and okay, we would have that conversation.
That's fine.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second.
Mr.
Commissioner
Chair.
Norby.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Baca.
I just want to say that we can, if your commission so desires, draft up a letter and bring it back as an agenda item for right. your commission to consider at a future date.
That's the idea.
I think that's the sense of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that would be draft, and we'd beat it up here, and then hopefully.
So no
finish.
Vote is needed on the letter. We understand the sort of the sense that you wish to have it as the chair have some kind of a letter drafted, and then your commission can debate it at that time.
The motion, and we're not approving the wording of the letter in any way.
That's right.
So
okay.
Just the intent.
Okay, Commissioner Norby?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I wanted to explore and discover a little bit some of the issues regarding the opponents and proponents' comments and concerns. I'm very clear and understand the issue of the seepage pit and the law enforcement history. I do have a real problem putting people in substandard housing for a long period of time. And I understand, I concur with Commissioner Beck in terms of the goal here should not be to lower our standards in terms of occupancy. And we have, essentially, if we approve this motion, we have a temporary dwelling that we're not allowing a temporary tent to be part of a temporary dwelling that's permanent. So let's just make the tent permanent too, because we're making the other temporary dwelling permanent. So I have an issue with that in terms of a non-safe permanent housing situation that is substandard, and I don't want to do that. The second issue that I have is one of land use and planning, in the sense that we do have different requirements, and they're fairly substantially different in terms of an RV park and a mobile home park, and designing both and what the requirements are. This is a way to have everything now, from now on, become an RV park and then come in under this clause of the law and shift it to a mobile home park without developing the project to a mobile home park standard. And I have a real problem with that as well. So I asked council about the law in terms of if it was stated that we had to do permanent occupancy, and the answer was that it was not stated, but could be implied depending. I also think that what could be implied is that if you have a RV park that has a 7 or 14 day or 30 day or 1 day or, you know, restriction, that can be extended. And that we have to make that finding. I have no problems, Commissioner Palantir, you brought up a point that I've actually experienced. I'm an RV owner, and my father stayed in my RV while he was working in a construction project in Riverside for about 9 months, I think. So I have no problems extending this to a one-year period of time for the spots, but without a defined period of time, and then you get into the whole eviction thing and the laws of standard housing, apartments, condos, houses, mobile homes, I have a problem with that. So if the construction project or if the situation is going to extend beyond a year, I think a year is a reasonable amount of time. They can either go through a process to find another space, they can renew at a year, or they can find another park, either or. But I would like to suggest a limit of a year, and what I could support, I cannot support the motion as it's stated, but what I could support is up to 25% of this park. I have no problems with the mapping, no problems with shifting the sites, the MUP. I could support 25% of this park going to a mobile home with mobile homes on it, and I could support 25% being 90 days or less, and the remaining 50% being one-year occupancies with, of course, options to renew. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let's vote. That motion, Beck, is supposed to be no. That motion passes. Reese, Woods, Brooks, Palantir, and Day supporting, Norby and Beck opposing, and staff will come back to us. Okay. Let's see, we're on to Montecito, and we're a little after 10, so let's make the assumption that we'll do the staff report, then we'll take our break, then we'll come back and start doing testimony. It's
because
terrible.
It is Pedro's right. Yeah. We have created a vehicle to take an RV situation and turn it into a permanent trailer park.
Mobile home park. Nobody's going to come in for a mobile home park permit anymore. They're all going to come in for an RV.
Right. So I think we need to take a look at an ordinance on.
We need to do something.
Because we're not going to have a plethora of these come in because they make money.
Absolutely.
They can put them anywhere they want with a sewage pit,
right,
and collect money from the people that all live in San Diego and turn into slums.
Yep. Absolutely.
95% of them are not need that we're suggesting by Mr. Palantir.
No, and you don't reduce standards to accommodate a need. You don't do that. You find a mechanism to accommodate the need that fits the standards. Otherwise, everything is going the wrong direction. Yeah. You're just deteriorating the world.
Who's that? Is the director here today?
Jason.
Jason?
Well, Bach.